All right, this morning in Ephesians chapter 4, would you take up the reading with me again in verse 17, Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you've not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now, our discussion in Ephesians 4 has to do with the walk of the Christian. That walk is to be worthy of the vocation wherewith he is called, and that vocation has to do with a heavenly calling. It has to do with the fact that he's chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and that he is to be heavenly minded, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. He says that you're to walk according to the way we walk, he says. And he says that the conversation having to do with that which is in heaven, our conversation is in heaven, he said. In other words, our conversation is to be heavenly, which would be absolutely opposite of carnal or earthly or fleshly. And of course, it has to do with the things of the Lord. We've discussed that there is the walk there that is in the Gentiles, of the Gentiles, which is in the vanity of their mind, which is set exactly opposite of the saints' walk. That is, the vanity of their mind is in the fact that their understanding is darkened and they can't see. They have no light. The Bible said the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And the whole thing in a nutshell is that we're not to pattern our walk after those whose minds have been darkened and their minds have been blinded. We have no business walking through their training and their teaching and whatever. I think in terms of the psalmist, let's see, give me just a second here. I'm all of a sudden forgetting that. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And my point is that we're not to walk in the counsel of those whose minds have been blinded by Satan himself, and they walk in the vanity of their mind, their understanding is darkened. It's so fascinating to me that the majority of the religious people today follow the training of people whose minds are darkened and they have no scriptural understanding at all. Now, in verse 22, he tells us how this walk is to be taken up. It's to be done by putting off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, by being renewed in the spirit of your mind. How can you put off the old man? You put off the old man by being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Then this is a mental thing. Now, I don't want to mislead you here into believing that this is reformation. It is not reformation. It only comes by the leadership of the Spirit. And the Bible is clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the eye had not seen, ear had not heard, neither into the heart of things, heart of man, the things that God had prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Therefore, this thing is a spiritual thing. It has to do with a spiritual mind, as he is referring to back in Ephesians chapter 1. Look in Ephesians 1, verse 16. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know some things. Well, this knowledge of these things comes through a spirit of wisdom. It has to do with a mind that is foreign to man. It has to do with a mentality that you receive when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is not the wisdom of this world. It is not the brain, and people always deal in terms of the mind being a brain. It is not the brain. It has to do with an accumulation of thoughts. In other words, when I, for 31 years, I had an accumulation of thoughts in my mind which was not of God at all. They were alienated from God. I didn't want to think on the things of God. I was given over to a reprobate mind, and I thought about things that were bad. Then when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I became a new creature in Christ, and I had a new mentality. I had a new understanding of things. There were things in the Bible that I could understand after I trusted Christ that I never could understand before. Therefore, I began to put on the new man. Now, this thing in Ephesians chapter 4 is progressive. It is progressive where we're concerned. It is in a moment where God is concerned. That is, as long as we're in this flesh, there's going to be this flesh to contend with, but we're not to walk in the flesh. We're to walk in that new mind. In other words, we're not to let the flesh rule. Our mind is to rule the flesh. And we're to put off concerning the conversation our old man, put on the new. The conversation is going to be determined on the basis of the things that you know. Anything you don't know, you can't talk about. Therefore, it's going to be determined. Your conversation is going to be determined by the things you know. Hence, the Bible said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman he is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A person who doesn't study the word of God can't know the word of God. Therefore, their conversation is not approved of God. The conversation is to be put off. It has to do with the mentality of the old man. Now, of course, we've discussed several things about this mind and this mentality and everything. The thing is that you can't change your old nature. I want to emphasize that some way. That what Paul is saying, he's not saying put off the body of flesh. He's not saying come to the point that you tell people that you're a sinless, you're to the point of sinless perfection, and that you're good or any of those things. That's not the point at all. What he is saying is that you can't change this old nature. It's always going to be there, but you can change the thinking in that you are a new man. You are a new creature. You have a new mentality that's given you of God. Therefore, you don't have to follow the leadership of this old man, which is created. Look back in chapter 2 and notice verse 10. 2:10, for we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Come down to verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. In other words, then, this new man is a new creation. It's created by God. The whole thing is, and I'm overwhelmed with all this stuff as I get into it. In the beginning, God created a man. God said, let us make man in our own image. And they took dust of the earth, formed the body, breathed into him the breath of life. Man became a living soul. The man was a creation of God. Later on, that man went into sin and lost the image that he had in that creation. In that creation, he had the image of God. I'm sure that he retained that image in a physical sense. But he lost the mentality. He lost that spiritual image that he had of God when he sinned against God. Jesus Christ was not a new creation. Jesus Christ was born the Son of God. That through Jesus Christ's death on Calvary And this is terribly hard for me to express all the things that I see. I tell you what, turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 8. You see, I have to be very careful in what I'm saying here, because somebody will take what I say at one point and say that I don't believe something that's on the other side. It's almost like having to speak two things at one time, just like preaching absolute grace. If you preach absolute grace, somebody says that you believe in living in sin. But if you preach not living in sin, somebody will say you're preaching legalism and don't believe in absolute grace. And so between all the time. Well, now watch this thing in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now then, the thing there is that Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. All right? Jesus Christ is born of God from the dead to be the firstborn of many brethren. Who are they? They're those who are going to be born from the dead. In other words, he's the firstborn of all that will be born from the dead. Now the other side. I'm going to come out here and I'm going to say this is the church which is the body of Christ. This church which is the body of Christ is created by God. In other words, back here, there's a man. That man's name is Adam. He's the first man. That man is created in the image of God. He's given the mentality of God. But the devil, which is the lie, deceived that man, and in that deception, he lost that image. Now, I come on the other side, and I find a new creation on the other side. This new creation is a creation of God. This new creation has the breath of God breathed into it. This new creation here has the mind of God. And just as Satan deceived Adam back here, Satan is doing everything to deceive this over here. And just as division came about back here as a result of his deception, division has come about over here as a result of his deception. And just as this man back here should have said the things that God gave him, that is, his conversation should have been that of God, which it turned out not to be, this new creation over here, which is the body of Christ, our conversation should be that of God. Hence, how do I know what God would have me to say? I know it by the word of God. God gave Adam the word. God gave me the word. God created Adam. God created the body. And on the thing goes. And the devil is working overtime right now to bring about the same deception in the body of Christ over here, which is a new creation, that he brought in the garden back there. Now, all that I've said here would lead one to believe that I didn't believe that we were a part of the brethren of which God is the firstborn. I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying that is something that is different to this new creation here. I'm saying that these people back here, the reference to Jesus Christ being the firstborn of many brethren, has nothing to do with the doctrine of the church, which is the one body of Christ. Has nothing to do with that at all. The doctrine is totally different than this of the new creation on the other side over here. We're a new creation. What is that creation? It has to do with a mentality. It has to do with a spiritual insight and a spiritual mentality to see God for what he is as Adam saw God. Oh, I hope you can see this thing. In other words, Adam is with God. He sees God. He knows God. He talks the language of God. Satan came in and deceived him, and after Satan deceived him, he's put out from where God is, and he can't see God anymore. There is a veil between him and God. He can't know God. He can't reach God except by a blood sacrifice. In our case on the other side over here, we have a spiritual mentality to know God. But the devil brings a veil between us and God. The devil would have us to be cast out and not be able to know God. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, is born in deceitful lust. And the old man walked in the vanity of the lie of the devil as came down from Adam right on down the line. We're to walk in a new life, a new attitude, a new nature, a new spirit, and so forth. Now, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's read from verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now, that's clear. In other words, that's the same idea now that is presented in Ephesians chapter 4, is living unto the Lord, put off the old conversation, put off the old man, put on the new, we're to live unto the Lord. Verse 16, wherefore henceforth know, notice the knowledge now, the mentality, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, you know that ain't got anything to do with the flesh. You know that the flesh is born in the likeness of Adam. You know that the flesh is sinful. You know that it remains sinful every day. It continues to have the same lust and desires and attitude and whatever that it had before you got saved. But when you got saved, you became a new man. You became a new creation. I don't believe that you became born again. Unless, you must understand now what I'm going to say, unless being born again is likened to the world that describes it today. In other words, they talk about a man who's had a total change, that is, a change of thinking and whatever, as being born again. If that's the case, then I believe in the new birth today. But really, I believe the new birth has to do with something in the future out there. Therefore, I don't believe that we're born again today. I believe we're born again in the eyes of God, in the sense that we're also glorified in the eyes of God. But I'm saying to you, this new creature here is a creation of God, not a birth. Just like back there, Adam was born. Adam was created, Jesus born. We're going to be born in the image of God in the future. That's resurrection. We've been created in the image of Adam. That's in his original creation before the fall. You see, as we stand right now, see, there are three phases to this thing. As we stand right now saved, we bear the image of the old man Adam, the new man Adam, that is the original creation. We bear the image of the fallen Adam, but we also bear the image of Christ. And in other words, we are now spiritually as Adam was originally. We also are now physically as Adam was in the fall. And we shall be as Christ is in resurrection. I hope you can get a hold of that thing. In other words, I'll say this right here represents Adam in his original creation. I'll say that this right here represents Adam in his fall. I'll say this right here represents us in the likeness of the original creation of Adam, and we're to put on the mind of God, which was given to Adam back there. That's the creation. But at the same time, we also bear the image of Adam in the fall. In other words, we've got the same mind that Adam had after he fell.
But at the same time, we've got a new mentality as Adam's was before he fell. But just as Jesus Christ is born then and dies, and Jesus in resurrection is begotten of God, so it is physically we are going to be in the image of God. You see, what I'm trying to show you is this new body and this new thing in birth cannot be attained in the mentality. It can't be arrived at through spiritual teaching and training and Bible study and whatever, except in a spiritual image. We're to be a new creature in a spiritual image. We are going to be born of God in a physical image someday. And that seems to have escaped the minds of the brilliant scholars in the churches today. I have no sarcasm in saying that. It's just an absolute fact. They have dwelled on born again, born again, born again, which is a carryover from the teaching of Acts chapter 2 and whatever. And they've gotten so, soaked and saturated in all that, until if you show them today, they can't see. They have no eyes to see, no ears to hear. And if you teach that, you're accused, as I was last week in a letter, of always trying to preach some new thing and some new doctrine and so forth. Well, I feel sorry for the person that wrote the letter. The person that wrote the letter is a preacher. And bless his heart, he just can't see because he's fallen personalities. We'll never get caught in that bind of fallen personality. Follow the book. All right, put on the new man. Turn, please, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. This is so clear, it couldn't be missed. Colossians 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Well, that's clear. In other words, then, our image, our God-like image today, is a spiritual image, and it's a mentality. And I don't care what people say about it. It doesn't make any difference what they say about it. They can say that that so-and-so just believes on God with his mind and not with all his heart. Well, I'm sure that's probably true in cases. And yet, you can't believe on God without your mind. There's got to be a mentality involved in this thing. This is mental. How do you get it? You get it by studying the Bible. How do I know what to put on? Rightly divide the word of truth. That's how I know what to put on. All right. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, I want to go through now. Let's go to verse 22 again. That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That is, his mentality is darkened. He can't see. He's blind. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Now notice in Philippians chapter 2, this mind. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. There's the humility of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. That's to be our walk. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. All right, we're to crucify our old man. We're to crucify our thinking pertaining to our former conversation, don't you see? In other words, I'm to put to death that training that I had in a former religion, which was robbing me of this image that I'm created in. In other words, the image that God created me in could not be revealed. It was being hid by the religious training that I had, which had to do with my mentality. In other words, what I discussed was that religion, not Christ, not the new man, not the Word of God. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 12, God said that you're to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Then the new man is holy. And that you're to be, and that you be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So then, what I'm saying to you is, that which is in Ephesians is a progressive thing. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't pop up like that, although it begins like that. In other words, just as Adam was just made dirt, God breathed into him the breath of life, and suddenly Adam was in the image of God, so it was with us. Well, the moment we were saved, we were in the image of God, but that image could not be seen. That image could not be revealed in our lives because we didn't have the knowledge. I don't know what you're thinking on this thing is, but I don't believe that when God created Adam, that he snapped his finger like that and Adam knew everything God knew. I don't believe that. You know why? If he had, why would God have told him the things of the garden? I believe God trained Adam. I believe he taught him. I believe the Word of God entered into the mentality and the spirituality of Adam, and when God got through teaching Adam and turned him loose to work in that garden, Adam was a perfect man spiritually, mentally. He knew exactly what God wanted. He knew exactly what to do, and he knew exactly what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. But sin entered in, the deception of the devil. Sin entered in. All that changed. He lost all of that. I'm saying to you, for you to be in the perfect image of God that he would have you to be in, you must study the Word of God. You must put off concerning the former conversation, concerning your former thinking about religious and spiritual things, you must put all that off and be renewed in the image of your mind, in the knowledge pertaining to God by studying the Word of God, that you may know what is the perfect will of God. You can't do it without study. All right. Now, in Ephesians 4, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying. Speak every man truth of his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Well, notice the putting away lying is clear. Go back to Colossians 3 again. By the way, Colossians is a parallel to Ephesians. There are some things that, for instance, in Ephesians, that maybe a person might have trouble understanding, that they could look in Colossians, and maybe there might be some clarity for it in them, for them in Colossians. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Now he said, wherefore putting away lying, all right, in Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. In other words, Colossians is a past tense transaction of that which the Ephesian does. In other words, the progression takes place, don't you see? The progress is from the middle wall of partition having been broken down with the Ephesians, going forward all the time unto the glory of Colossians chapter 3, appearing with him in glory. All right? Colossians 3 presents the Christian as having already put off the old man and put on the new. Therefore, he does not lie to others in view of the fact he has put off the old man with his deeds. Well, what are his deeds? Go back to Ephesians 4 and look what they are.
Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You know, this is absolutely, it is so overwhelming to me, and I can't say all the things that I know to say. For instance, there's many a preacher this morning that is going to stand in a pulpit and flat out lie to people. Do you ever think about that? They're liars. Why? Because they're following the God of this world, who is the God of liars. They're lying. They haven't put off the old man. They haven't studied to show themselves approved unto God. They haven't done these things that God said, and they are lying to others. You know what they're doing? Suppose that a man stands up and he says to people, repent and be baptized for remission of sins, and you'll be in the image of God. He's lying. Suppose that man says that to be saved, you've got to repent, you've got to believe on Jesus, you've got to be baptized for your sins and keep the commandments. He's lying. The man has not put off the old man with his conversation. He's continuing in the conversation of the old man. Put off the old man, they lie not one to another. In other words, the person who has or is progressively putting off the old man and has his motives right never lies to people, especially about things of God. Why, the whole thing is tied up in thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Why, he says love is the fulfilling of the law. He said if there's any other commandment is fulfilled in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. How could I possibly claim love for another a fellow Christian, so to speak, and lie to him all the time so that I might gain that which is his? And say I put off the old man. And sometimes when you're strong with people, sometimes when you rebuke people, sometime when you raise your voice at people to show them truth, they think, well, you don't have kindness and tenderness in your heart. They would rather be lied to. Well, you know that. There are thousands of them out there in the religious system this morning. Why are they there? They love the lies there. They love to be deceived. They love to be taken. They love for people to take them for gain and so forth. They do not enjoy preaching and teaching. Lie not one to another. You put off the old man with his deeds. What are his deeds? It's the former conversation. Somebody woke up to you and say, you saved? And you say, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Presbyterian, or any of that stuff. That's the old man with his deeds. Sure as you're born. And if you compromise that position, if somebody where you're working, somebody discusses that with you in any way, say, well, are you really saved? And you compromise that position, you're getting back involved in that old man with his deeds. Lie not one to another. Put off the old man. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and notice verse 27. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Well, the conversation then will show whether we're in one mind. Now, that's the whole thing we're dealing with here. It has to do with our mind. It has to do with a spiritual mind. That spiritual mind is created by God. That spiritual mind grows as you put on the things of God, see, which have to do with the book, the Word of God. Let's just say then, here is the body of Christ. People say, well, the body of Christ is one, you know. And they refer to a collective body in the sense of physical bodies getting together, and they say that's one body. Oh, no, that's not the point at all. The point is that all these have the same mind
and the same spirit, and that is created by God. They may not put it on. They may not live accordingly and so forth, but they got it if they've trusted Christ their Savior. In other words, all of the members of the one body are members one of another mentally and spiritually. That's fascinating. In other words, our thinking is to be the same as theirs, and theirs is to be the same as ours, and them and us are to think in terms as the Word of God says. Our mentality is to come from the same book, hence the emphasis upon the King James Bible. Our mentality is to all be the same. God Almighty never showed one anything that he wouldn't show another. We're to all speak the same thing. How can we speak the same thing if we don't know them? How can we know them except we be taught? How can we be taught except we have teachers? How can we have teachers except God give them as a gift? And on the thing goes. All right, back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Oh, I hope you can see the picture then. For instance, all the members of the one body have the same mind, right? Okay, so along comes John Doe up here, and he sets off this bunch right up here, and he teaches them that they got to be baptized. That is, not to be saved, but they're to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So his teaching follows the Baptist doctrine. Well, what is he teaching then? Is he teaching them so that mentally and spiritually they'll have communion with all the other members of the body? No, he's not. He's setting them apart. So what's he doing? He's lying and teaching them the lie. He's teaching them to be set apart and divided from the one body. Satan beguiled, get the picture. Satan is now beguiling unstable souls. And unstable souls are led astray with the teaching of men that haven't put away the lying. They haven't put away the former conversation. They're religiously the same right now that they were before they trusted Christ as their Savior. Why? They're using that little bunch right up there in that corner for their own gain. Turn back with me, please, to Romans chapter 16 and see if that isn't what Paul says. Romans chapter 16 in Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Oh, this is very serious. It's not a game we're playing. Verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose glory is in their belly, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Well, there's no doubt about it. There are those today that call themselves grace preachers that fit that very same category. Many of them set out to make people believe that the King James Bible is not the Word of God. They use every effort. One man stood in a church over in Missouri and told me emphatically that he teaches people everywhere he goes that the King James Bible is not the Word of God, and then he takes great pride in doing it. And as if that wasn't enough, that man went to work for Berean Bible Society with Mr. Cornelius Stamm. And Mr. Cornelius Stamm wrote a letter pertaining to my conversation with that man, condemning me for my stand on the King James Bible, and said that he just prays that I don't do too much damage
by telling people the King James Bible, the Word of God. Now, that's amazing. Now, why would a man tell people, and I asked the man, tell people that there is not a book today that you can put your hand on and say that's the Word of God if he believed the Ross, as people say he does. One man said, well, now he's come to realize that the Textus Receptus is it, and the King James is the better of the translations. Well, like a man said, I'm not his conscience. But I can do one thing. I can see what the passage says. The passage said, put off the form of conversation. Lie not one to another. You put off the old man with his deeds, and bless your soul, lie not one to another has nothing to do with the manner of speech that you have. It's the words you say. It has nothing to do with whether you speak with tenderness or whether you yell or scream or stomp your feet or clap your hands. Lie not one to another means lie not one to another. Isn't it funny? A man can lie to people all day long if he'll do it softly and tenderly. But if he just gets on with it, you know. I mean, people don't like to be lied to like that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. I don't believe that he's saying there that I'm to... In other words, I don't believe that what he's saying has to do with this righteous indignation that people refer to. I don't believe that. I believe that we are to do exactly what I've been doing this morning. In other words, we're to be angry where these brethren do these things that we see and understand, and we're to warn people to that effect and sin not in that thing. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'm sorry, Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Be you angry and sin not. In other words, I don't think it's got anything to do with a man and his wife necessarily getting mad at one another and then going to bed mad at one another. That's the teaching. You know, that's strange. About the only teaching I ever heard on that passage has to do with a husband and wife. Just don't go to bed that way. That's right. You get mad during the day, and you go to bed and you sleep that way, and it's going to affect you tomorrow. And I don't believe. No such shallow stuff involved in the passage. I believe the passage is used in its context. What is the context? The context is that the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, and that there are those today who are carrying on in that same tradition with the same conversation and whatever, and they're lying not one to another, being members of the same body, and leading astray those that are in the body. We're to be angry and sin not in that same thing. Don't fall into that same category, but we're to mark them that walk so as we have Paul as an example. And Paul was very strong in some of the things he did. Let me show you. Turn, please, Timothy. And look in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Well, I don't believe Hymenaeus and Alexander are lost there. If they're lost, why would Paul deliver them unto Satan? I believe there's somebody that's saved. And those saved men
were standing against Paul's words, which is blasphemy. How do I know that? Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for if greatly withstood our words. I'll give you an opinion. That's all it is. It's an opinion. I believe that Alexander the coppersmith can be found in Acts chapter 19 at Ephesus. I believe that Alexander the coppersmith got saved, and that the letter of Ephesians is directed to such men as Alexander the coppersmith. But later on, Alexander the coppersmith withstood Paul's words, and in so doing, blasphemed, and in so doing, spoke evil against the...